afraid, Lord God, but also rejoice in the fact and the truth that our God is alive, that Jesus Christ is risen, that Jesus Christ is coming again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for your presence this morning, that we can find grace and peace and comfort and healing in your presence this morning. We thank you, God, that we can know that you're alive because the heavens declare your glory and the work of your hands declares your splendor all over the world, Lord God. And we can see you living in and through your people, Father. And we thank you for that this morning, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. We just ask that you just keep the following families in your prayers this morning. Martinez, your mom, that graduated to be with the Lord. Only the Holy Spirit can comfort you in this time. We think of the Rodriguez family in KZN. Rui, after a challenging illness, has gone to be with the Lord. And then the Pretorius family, Louis, one of our congregation members here that graduated to be with the Lord this week as well. When the Holy Spirit reminds you, just stand in the gap for them. Pray that God comforts them and just gives them peace and gives them strength through this time of grieving with those families. Well, folks, this is the last Sunday before a next phase of transition in this country. We've been praying for weeks and months, and many prayer groups have started and prayer initiatives all over the country with good cause, with good reason, and with urgency in the spiritual realm for the upcoming elections. And the Lord has laid on my heart to share this with you guys this morning. We're going to give the people a break from Revelation this morning. And we're going to speak specifically about what the significance is of the voting. And then I'm going to play you a sound clip that Pastor Grant Paul from Clip River Community Church sent to me. And I think it's so, so, so fitting, so spiritful. I'm going to let you guys listen to that. Then we're just going to put a picture up to give an idea of the policies of the parties that are running for election this term. But be that as it may, before I read the scriptural foundation for you this morning, you know, I've often examined myself and I thought to myself, what are the reasons that we vote for good leadership? What are the reasons we vote for a government that works, where everything works, where the roads are fixed, the lights fixed, everything works, the infrastructure's all sorted out, the government schools are well run, the government hospitals are clean and looked after and there's good services. Aren't those the reasons that we want and the services that we expect from the government of the day? Anybody else agree with me on those things? But I submit to you, I wonder, is it possible that those are not the reasons that we should be praying for a government that effectively leads? I understand that God is a God of excellence, that God is a God of order, and there's no brokenness, there's no nothingness, there's no lack of any kind when it comes to God and His kingdom. Daar's nie 'n tekort aan enige iets nie, except evil. Which nobody will miss. But there's nothing, you know, there's no half-heartedness when it comes to the things of God. There's no second, third, fourth, fifth best. It's just the best of everything. That, at the end of the day, is the kingdom of God. And I believe it's okay and right to want those things. But I submit to you, is it possible that those are not the reasons that we should be praying for a government that just works? Oftentimes people say, well, we must pray for a Christian president. Well, be honest with yourself. Would you rather have a Christian president or somebody that knows how to run the country? You know, when you look at the like individual candidates or whatever, are you going to look at the person on their personal morals, which you can, or on their effectiveness as a leader for the entire country? I want to submit to you that morally speaking, David was way, way worse than King Saul. And yet of David, God said, a man after my own heart. Why? Because David had an anointing to lead God's people. But Saul had selfish ambitions. Morally speaking, there was no reason to choose King David above King Saul. You don't see Saul doing all the things that David did, but yet God knew that David would be the effective leader. So what is it that we pray for a government that works and for effective leaders? The reason we should be voting for such a government is not so that our lives can be more comfortable. Why is it so quiet in the church this morning? It's not so that our lives should be more comfortable. And please, as I said, I'm not knocking those things. Stuff must work. Things must, it is okay to expect service delivery, especially, folks, when you have paid for it. Can I get a loud, roaring amen in this building this morning? It's okay to want those things. But what then should we be praying for? We should be praying for these things, to have an effective government so that the gospel can be spread throughout the country. Last weekend, or I think the weekend before, help me, Kovas, we went through the estate here, went door to door, not evangelizing, but saying to the people, we're from the local church. We're not here to ask for money. We're not Jehovah's Witnesses. We just want to know, is there anything that we can pray for you and your family? We want to bless you with prayer today. What a thought. Imagine if it was illegal to do that. I submit to you that we'd have our black as night stuff on, our tactical clothing, and we do it secretly undercover at night. Imagine if it was illegal for us to gather like this. Imagine if it was illegal for us to spread any form of printed media that had anything to do with the gospel. Sadly, the sad truth is that that is the reality in many, many, many countries today. Many countries today. I'm not a well-traveled man, but I've been to other countries for ministry purposes. I've been overseas, never for holiday, but for ministry purposes, to several countries. And it's amazing, you get there, everything is clean, everything works, everything's on time. But there's a brass heaven where spiritually the people's hearts are more closed to the gospel than we are used to in this nation, like you cannot believe. Like you cannot believe. And there's so much that we can be grateful for still in this country. So those are the reasons that we should be praying for an effective government, people that actually fear the Lord, so that the gospel can be freely spread in this country. In Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, this is the foundation scripture for this morning's message, and I've called it, Choose for Yourselves This Day. Choose for yourselves this day. On the 29th, people are going to voting polls to choose for themselves that day. In Joshua 24 and verse 15, the scripture says, And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. And Joshua then says, But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And you know, folks, that's one of the most challenging things about the gospel. You know, oftentimes in the outreach context in which we go to the Day Jaws rallies, etc., you know, they look at the CMAs and they say, Oh, you guys can't drink and you guys can't smoke. Well, we can. We just choose not to for the sakes of the people that we're ministering to. Imagine a guy has a, now please, I'm not pointing fingers at anybody that smokes or drinks, because there's gossipers and skinnerers and people walking around with bitterness that are arger than the heaviest chain smoker. Can you say amen? But I continue. Imagine I'm trying to minister to Oak that's struggling with an addiction. And I say, oh my boo. I'm just going to pray with you that God delivers you from your addiction, you know. Come on, but Sam. Like, rarach? No. There must be credibility in our lifestyle and credibility in our message. Can you say amen? You know? So, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We have a choice to make, and we can have a choice to make. And that's the thing with the gospel. Nobody has to love God. Nobody has to believe in the Bible. Nobody has to follow Jesus. It will be to our benefit if we do. But when it comes to the promises of the gospel, it's a choice. It's a choice. People say, in charismatic circles, we say, you cannot live without Jesus. Nonsense. Millions do. But you cannot die without Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And folks, it's one thing to say, I know Jesus, but does Jesus know you? Remember, the scripture says that many will come to him on that day and say, Lord, we've done all these things. And the Lord will say, sorry, I didn't know you. What does it mean in that context that there was intimacy in relationship there? So folks, yes, we should be going to the polls on Wednesday, not just lazing at home doing nothing. And Brian, yes, Mark, we are going to be Brian here at the church after voting, but yeah, we should be going to the polls to vote. Say, I'm choosing this day. You say, well, what obligation is there for Christians to vote? I mean, show me in the Bible where it says that I must vote. Can anybody show me in the Bible where it says that you must vote? The what? Ask Mozzie. So those are the reasons that we choose and that we are called to be active participants in society. So the phrase, so I want to say this, regardless of the outcome of the voting on the 29th of May, regardless of the outcome, there's a phrase in the scripture that says, then God said. And it appears 64 times in the New King James Version. 64 times it says, and then God said. So I want you this morning to say with me, then God said. Then God said. And when God says it, everything changes, folks. Everything changes. I want to encourage you, regardless of the outcome on the 29th of May, then God says. And the gist of that this morning is at the end of the day, God is going to have the final say. When God speaks, things change. And it's always change for the good of His kingdom, not our comfort. You know, God is more concerned about your spiritual well-being than He is about your spiritual comfort. Where do I get that from? The scripture teaches, it's better to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye, one leg, one arm, one ear, half a brain, then have all your physical faculties about you and end up in hell, shoveling coals for the rest of your life. That's the principle. God is more concerned about our spiritual well-being than our physical comfort. So folks, where we put our cross on Wednesday the 29th is so much less important than the spiritual impact that we have on this country and the responsibility that we have as Christians. So regardless of what governments do now, this prophecy will come to pass. And it says this in the book of Habakkuk. Who spreek mense dit uit in Afrikaans? Yes, wat hulle gesê het, né? Habakkuk 2, and ek stem saam met julle. I just didn't want to attempt it in case it sounds like a vloekwoord hierso. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 14. Habakkuk 2 and verse 14. For the earth, this is powerful prophecy. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. This prophecy has not yet come to pass. It will be fulfilled. We spoke about the Jewish evangelists that we've been looking at in Revelation, 144,000. And at that time, once it's been proclaimed, everybody then would have heard and been told about this. The glory of the knowledge of God will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And that is God's encouragement to us people, regardless of the outcome on the 29th. And I know we've been praying that there's a change in leadership. There's a change in leadership. There's a change. We need change in this nation. But every nation needs change. You know, so whether you in a country where there's no potholes, where there's no load shedding, where the government subsidized hospitals and medical facilities are so good you don't need medical aids. It's just like that. In some countries, those things are all completely, completely free, and it's the best of the best of the best of the best. But morally, it's falling apart. Spiritually, it's decaying, just like it is in this country. Just like it is in this country. So regardless of what governments do, including this one, this prophecy shall come to pass. And let that be, at the very least, our hope. Jesus prayed this prayer, or taught us to pray, in Matthew 6 and verse 10. And he said, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." What's happening every time we pray and our prayers don't get answered? And accident and aanhalingstekens. It appears our prayers are not being answered. What happens when that happens? We pray and we pray and we pray for a specific change and we don't see it taking place. What's happening? What's happening? It's one step closer to the fulfillment of these prophecies. It's one step closer to His kingdom come and His will be done. Even if it doesn't take the form and the shape and the way in which we want it to, this is what's happening. Because no matter what people do, no matter what governments do, no matter what the world does, God's kingdom come and His will be done. Then God said. And when God says it, it's going to happen. We can't reverse it. You say, "Well, great, Mozzie, that's wonderful. It sounds like you're an idealist. But what do we do till then? Until then, what do we do as Christians? What do we do as Christians?" That's it. That's it. You say, "Well, you hear of people in difficult situations. Oh, you know, the least I can do is pray." It's the most you can do. It's the most you can do. Jesus did nothing without praying. He did nothing. He heard and He saw from the Father first, and that's what He did. Nothing more, nothing less. It's the most we can do. How many of you, you don't have to raise your hands, are tired of praying? Well, if you're tired, rest in prayer. You know what our striving should be as Christians? Oftentimes you speak to people and they say, "Well, you know, how's it going?" "No, I'm working on my relationship with God." Well, how's about enjoying your relationship with God? You know what our striving and our effort should be? You know what the Scripture teaches? The Scripture says, strive to enter His rest. But hang on a second. I thought rest is rest. Now, strive to enter His rest. Because it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord, that these things are going to change in this country. And it says, returning and rest, you shall be saved. So if you're tired, pray for God to give you that physical endurance, spiritual endurance, mental endurance. You know, preaching on a Sunday is not a physically demanding job. But you know what? Afterwards, I feel like spiritually and mentally drained, because hopefully and prayerfully I give my very, very, very best, and not just like put a few words together, you know. Because it's taxing, and it's like that when you pray for heavy, weighty matters, like the future of this country, the future of your business, the future of your children, the health of your loved ones, a relationship that's busy falling apart. You pray for those things. It wears you down, Yella. And the encouragement is to continue to go to the Lord in constant prayer all the time. So as Christians, what is our responsibility? Well, we have a choice to make. As Joshua said, "As for me and my..." You can serve those gods on that side of the river. You can serve the gods of the Amorite. You can serve all these other things. But as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. And you know, folks, it's easy to say that in the context of our celebration here on a Sunday. But out there in the world, when the pressure's on, where there's this whole flood of compromise against you, are you going to make a stand? Are you going to make a stand and make a difference? When it's not popular, when it doesn't, when it seems like, you know, you are the freak of nature, are you going to make that stand for the cause of Christ and His principles and His values? We have choices to make as Christians. So this way that Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew 6 and verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But until then, what's our choice? Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. You know, I remember from school days, you have multiple choice questions. They give you the question, they give you several answers, 1, 2, 3, 4, A, B, C. Then you're going to mark next to what you think is the correct answer. Remember that? And sometimes you think it's easier, but sometimes when you see those other possibilities, it like throws you a curveball and makes it a bit confusing for you. God gives us a choice, and then He even tells us what to do. He says, these are the choices, this is what you should do. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Those are your choices. Life and death, blessing and cursing. And then He gives the answer. Therefore, choose life. Choose life that both you and your descendants may live. Choose life. And that is our choice. We said this, that you have a choice. We spoke about it last week, I think, when Leon shared. You have a choice. Are you going to choose your political values or your Christian principles? That's the choice. That's where we need to make our mark on Wednesday, the 29th. We should take great courage in this truth, that every time it appears our prayers are not being answered, we're one step closer to His kingdom come and His will be done. And what should we do in the meantime? Well, do you know why it's called the meantime? Because life is mean in that time. Life is mean. You know? So, well, life is not fair. Well, it never was meant to be fair. And because this life, as we know it, it's just a passing phase. We're just sojourners through this phase of our lives to have the life that God has always intended for us. So we take our courage in these things. What do we do in the meantime? As we said, we pray, and it's called the meantime because life gets mean during these times. And we need endurance to keep on keeping on. Turn to your neighbor and say, keep on keeping on. Come on, do it. Keep on keeping on. Carry on. Carry on. Carry on. And you know, folks, I don't know what your expectations are when it comes to the things of the gospel and the promises of God, but Predica, Ecclesiastes teaches that there's a time for everything under the sun, even a time for suffering, even a time for grief, even a time for pain and heartache, so that we can experience times of joy, times of plenty, times of breakthrough, and appreciate those things even more. But when it comes to endurance, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, so, my dear brothers and sisters, so, Yella, my dear brothers and sisters, that's you, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Key words, for the Lord. Because I can run ahead with all these good ideas and say, Lord, bless what I do, bless what I do, instead of getting involved with what God is already blessing. How silly of us to go ahead and just without seeking the Lord's counsel and having safety in the multitude of counselors and just expect God to bless what you've decided, like as if I've got a better plan than what God has. No, but get involved with what He's already doing. None of your labor in the Lord is ever useless. So whatever it is that you're busy with, You see, Saul also thought that he was doing God a favor. God said, kill everything. Saul decided to spare the king and then the best of their livestock and other stuff. And God said, wipe everyone out. You know? So, but I did what you... No, you didn't. Partial obedience and delayed obedience is disobedience. So, work enthusiastically, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13. As for the rest of you, brothers and sisters, never get tired of doing good. Now, you do get tired, but in the context is never give up and say, well, I'm going to stop this now because what's the use of trying? Nothing changes anyway. God doesn't hear my prayers. God has forgotten me. Or God can't answer my prayers because of, and you think of what it is that you've done wrong. Whose voice are you listening to? The accuser. That's the accuser of the brethren. And when does he do it? Day and night, the Bible says. Day and night, the accuser of the brethren accuses. You're not good enough. You don't make the grade. So don't listen to those lies. Don't listen to those lies. Okay. As for the rest of you, dear brothers and sisters, never get tired of doing good. And then Hebrews 10 and verse 36. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. And then you will receive all that He has promised. How many of you have unfulfilled promises of God in your life? Okay, so while our hands are up, you know what that means? That we still need to go through some patient endurance and continuance of doing His will. So that once we do that, then we will receive what He has promised. How are you feeling this morning, church? Okay. I want you to listen to the sound clip if you start to wrap this up. Are you guys ready for that? Okay, so I think it's just under four minutes. It's Pastor Grant Paul. He's ministered here before. That's such a profound message. Let's just take the time to listen to that.
This is a short message to everyone in South Africa who calls themselves a Christian concerning voting at the elections on the 29th of May, 2024. If you identify yourself as part of the body of Christ, if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to understand something that is vitally important concerning this election. When you place your mark on each of the three different ballot papers, I want you to now picture two simultaneous scenarios. Number one, picture yourself physically at the voting booth, making your mark next to the party that you are voting for. And secondly, more importantly, now picture your vote in the spirit realm, exposed openly in the spirit for every demon, every angel, for God Himself to witness. You see, here's the thing. If you, as a Christian, are going to vote for any party that supports and condones abortion, pornography, prostitution, the legalization of drugs for private use, and any sexually sinful lifestyle or the image of God in a male or female being contaminated, you are very clearly in the spirit realm supporting and strengthening the demonic strongholds over South Africa and over your province. Your vote is going to be magnified in the courts of heaven. In the recent past few elections, the general strategy of many people was vote for this particular party so that the ANC stands less of a chance to win. Well, at this coming election, your vote won't only be for a party. Your vote will be determining the strength or weakness of the voice of righteousness in South Africa. So if you as a Christian feel it's fine to support and condone the demonic strongholds of lust, of death, and of addiction, go ahead, make your mark in the heavens and stand accountable for it. In the past, we've heard false statistics like 80% of South Africa are Christians. Well, that's rubbish. If 80% of South Africa were Christians, our nation wouldn't be in the horrific mess it's in at the moment. And so whatever the percentage is of Christians in South Africa, the heavens will know at this election what that percentage is. We don't need to conduct a poll. We don't need a survey to be carried out. Election day in the spirit realm will reveal how many true Christians there are in this nation. Do you need to vote as a Christian? Yes, you do. Well, who do we vote for? A voice of godly righteousness. I didn't say religious, I said godly righteousness. And there are parties who are the voice of righteousness in South Africa. So make your mark in the spirit.
Profound, hey? I pray that God gives us wisdom, that we see things from a kingdom perspective. On a practical note, I'm going to ask the guys to put up a little picture. I want to encourage you to take it with your phone. Take a picture of it with your phone. And we're also going to put it on the church's group. That will give you it's got the list of the predominant parties on the top that you're going to see down there. And then on the left-hand side is the column of the issues. We can see it's pretty self-explanatory. I think we should just leave it there so that if your picture's too small, you can get a chance after the service to come up and take a picture of that. So just prayerfully consider what it is that you're going to be doing on the 29th of May. As has been the tradition for the past couple of weeks leading up to this upcoming election, we're going to pray together corporately as a church this morning for this country, for its leaders. So without further ado, let's pray. Father, the time is drawing closer and closer for, once again, significant steps to be taken and made in the spiritual realm. It is so much more than a mark on a piece of paper. Father, for those that have to bring about policy changes, Lord God, at government level, that make decisions that go to parliament, the legal battles that get fought, the God-fearing men and women that you've placed there, we pray for strength for those people. We pray for anointing for those people. And when it comes to the change that we need in South Africa, this is the desire of your heart, and this is the desire of our hearts. And it goes like this: your kingdom come, and your will be done. And what is our role? To continue to pray and to actively participate in changing this world one heart at a time with the life and love of Jesus Christ. So we pray for South Africa, this land. We pray for this nation. We pray for its people. We pray for the economy. We pray for the crops. We pray for the cultures, Lord God. We pray for the infrastructure, Lord God. We pray for the mineral resources that we have here. We pray for the wealth of diversity of people in this place. We pray for the peacemakers, for blessed are they, Lord God. We pray for those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. We pray, Lord God, for an uprising against the spirit of lawlessness, Lord God, that runs rampant in this nation. We pray for godly fear, Lord God, the fear of God to grip this nation, Lord God. We pray for humility in people, that we would all turn from our wicked ways. Pray and seek your face so that this country and its people might be healed. We pray that godliness and the things of Christ start in the recesses of our heart, then in our homes, then in the workplaces, in the factories, in the businesses, in the schools, in the offices, out in the streets, in the banks, in the queues, everywhere, on the roads, everywhere, Lord God, that there'd be an overriding presence of Almighty God in this place. We pray for a peaceful outcome, Lord God. We come against any plan and assignment that Satan has to disrupt or to take lives on Wednesday, Father. We pray for peace. We pray for journeying mercies, Lord. We pray for the hard workers that are really going to work hard to make it possible for us to vote, Lord God. We pray for the safety of the administrators that work with the voting ballots, Lord God, and what happens afterwards, Lord God. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Folks, thank you for making the time to worship with us this morning. May Almighty God bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. May God lift up his countenance over you all and give you supernatural peace. God bless you. Travel safely and God willing, see you same time, same place next week. Thank you for listening, folks. Cheers.